are connected. So if you will, turn to John chapter 6, verse 1. John 6, 1. We'll read down to verse 15 and then read 22 to 27. And then we'll see what God has to say in His Word. The Holy Spirit provides this information through the Apostle John. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, "There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they could come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. Now I'd like you to skip down to verse 22. We're Passover, the section where the disciples are on the water, where the storm comes up and Jesus calms the storms. Verse 22, "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there were none other boat there, save that one whereinto His disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with His disciples but into the boat, but that His disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither His disciples, that they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, 'Rabbi, when camest thou hither?' Jesus answered them and said, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath the Father, had God the Father sealed." Let's pray. Now, Father, we want to look into Your Word here to see a truth about the Gospel, to see a truth about our Savior, to see a truth about Your provisions. I pray, Lord, that we'll see it plainly, understand it, and apply it into our lives. We thank You for what Jesus does and is doing today. Amen. You can be seated. My son, Harrison, who I've already warned I was going to use him as an example. My son the other day was talking to me, and he said, "What kind of car are you going to buy me when I'm 16? Which presupposes a few things, does it not? One of which is I'm going to buy him a car, ever. And that he's going to be able to get one at 16. But I have joked with him and make fun of that a little bit. But the fact is, I mean, I've done the same thing. I've asked my dad the same kind of questions. You know, when are you going to do that for me? Assuming that he's going to do it for me. But you see, as parents, and most of you, many of you have had children. If you don't have them at home today, you've had them in your home. And you remember, your goal as a parent is to give that child whatever he or she needs to grow up and be a successful, productive citizen in society. Is that not true? I mean, obviously you want them to love the Lord, and there's some other pieces of that that you want, but at the end of the day, you want to be able to step back and say, They're on their own. They can live their life. And they're not tearing up things too badly. I mean, essentially, that's what you want. And yes, it'd be a nice cherry on top if they're in church and loving the Lord and serving God. But again, you're giving them the equipment they can. And with that, you hope they will not make a mess out of it, right? You want them to be good, successful citizens. Right now in my life, I've got a very small child, Jude. And you know how I'm doing that? I'm providing him food all the time. That little booger eats like nobody's business. That's what I do. I provide him food all of the time. That's what I do. Food, food, food. But you know what? As they grow, Isabel, this year was her first year in school. So what am I doing there? I'm allowing her to go and get an education. I'm making sure she gets there. She's got a good school to go to, making sure that's taken care of. Harrison, he's getting up into a little bit older grades, and in a few years, probably going to look to go and further his education, maybe try to help him, you know, pick out a mate, go and get a college degree and some other things, maybe even help him in his first job, getting his home. And you know all these stages of life, all the way from just make sure he's got food in his mouth, all the way up to making sure that those other things are taken care of, those deeper things. I've had the privilege of talking to Harrison and Eli, both of them, about the Lord and about putting their faith in Jesus. That's another part that you want to make sure is taken care of. The point is that my providing food and shelter and a car, if the Lord wills, at 16, I don't know if that's happening. But whatever that physical provision is, my goal in providing that is not, I didn't take them on simply to fill their bellies. Yes, I want to fill their bellies. I love them. I care for them. But that's not why I brought them into this world. That's not why I took them on. Not why I asked the Lord to bless me with my children so that I can have mouths to feed. I did that so that I can certainly feed them. That's part of it. But to get them to the point where I can, like a ship that sails, push them off, see them from a distance and say, I did what I could. God's blessed me so much to be able to give them what I could so they can now be on their own and be successful, if you will, in the world. I think that's the goal of most parents, is it not? Our relationship with Jesus Christ is exactly the same. And let me explain how it's the same. Up to this point in the book of John, Jesus has taken great pains to make sure we know He's not the cosmic sugar daddy. That we can go to Jesus and say, give it to me, give it to me. That no, He's come, as we talked about this morning, not to bring physical victory necessarily, but to bring spiritual victory. Victory over death, hell, and the grave. But He comes back in chapter 6, what we just read, and makes it real clear. He also does provide for our physical needs. Just quickly, let's look at this, how He provides for our physical needs. Verse 5 of chapter 6. We see that Jesus can provide for our physical needs even when our resources seem scarce. You look at verse 5. Jesus lifts up His eyes. And saw a great company coming toward Him. He said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? You see, Jesus and His disciples had stepped away for a few minutes, decided they were going to sit down and take it easy. But no, they look up and all these people come. So Jesus turns to Philip, who by all accounts was sort of the analytical one of the group. He was the guy who could sort of eyeball and say, there's about 5,000 people here. If there's 5,000 people, it takes so much money to feed one person, multiply that by. He was the guy who did that. That was who he was. He was the guy who could assess a situation and kind of draw out the salient facts. So Jesus turned to him, not because he needed the information, as we see, but because he just wanted to see. Kind of, tell me, help me out here. Show me what's impossible. And Philip, of course, rises to the task. And he says it would take about 200 denarius to feed them ultimately a snack. He said, if you had about 200 denarius, you go out to the town, if you could even find it, get it this hour. If you could get it, we'd have just enough to kind of give everybody a goldfish cracker. We'd have just enough to kind of give them a little something. We wouldn't be able to fill them up. Then Andrew follows up in verse 8 and 9. He says he's found this boy. He's got a lunch. It's 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But he asks the obvious question. There's a lot of people here. How's that even going to work? But what does Jesus do? He takes it. Because again, I want you to think about how this transition goes. Verse 9, but what are they among so many? Philip, Andrew, can you imagine this? He said, I got this lunch here, but what's that among so many? What does Jesus do? Verse 10, make them sit down. You see what he did? So here it is, and Jesus says, okay, that'll work. Sit down. That'll work. Sit down. We're going to feed them now. And then what does he do? He takes that basket, and the men start handing this out to the people that are seated there. It says there are 5,000 men. Estimates are that there were, you know, women and children among the group. So this number could have been as big as 10, 15,000 people that may have been sitting there. You count the women and children, everybody that would have been there. A lot of people. And they just pass it out. Boom, boom, boom. Pass it out. More than just pass it out, they have enough to spare. And even talks about there, where was this at? In verse 11, at the end. And likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And then verse 12, and when they were filled. Again, Philip was sent up there trying to do calculations about what can we do just to make sure they have a little nugget, a little taste of something so they don't go home happy. And what do? They set them down and fed them a full course meal. They're filled to the brim. They're taken care of. That's what Christ can do. He can take the little bit of nothing that we have and he can make a lot of it. And I'm talking about physical provision here. I'm talking about some of you who can look back in the course of your life and you can see how you didn't see a way out. That health problem that you dealt with. Even that family member that you just didn't see a way to reconcile with. That financial problem that you had. You didn't see how that bill was going to be paid. But you can look back and you can see that even though your resources were not enough to provide for it, your God stepped in and He provided. Because God does do that. I feel like, as I think back at how I've preached through this point, and even what Jesus has said to this point, I think we could easily mistake it and say, you know, we don't preach that prosperity gospel, so therefore we don't even believe God can provide anything. Jesus is telling us a whole other story. He's saying, no, I can't. I am the great physician. I can heal. That's why we pray, God, we got Brother Elmer going to the doctor tomorrow. Please intervene in that situation. Not because God's up in heaven saying, yeah, whatever, go deal with yourself. I'm working on spiritual stuff here. No, He intervenes in things like that. He does put His hand on broken bodies. He does that. He does fill hungry bellies. He does that. He does mend marriages. He does bring about physical change in people's lives. He does that. And He does it when the resources are scarce. He also provides when the needs are large. In verses 10 to 13, we see we have 5,000 men plus women and children that are fed. They are fed till they're satisfied, till they're filled. And they had 12 baskets full of leftovers. There was a very, very, very large need. God certainly can work in little incremental things, but He can work in big things. He can heal a little cough, and He can heal the most malignant of cancers. He can do it. He has done it. Brother Charles and Brother Courtney and I were talking on Wednesday night, I believe it was. We were talking about healing and some of the things that God can do. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And there are some people that get a little scared when you go over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 14, 12 in there, that area. It talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And I know that some of our friends and I think even some of our brothers and sisters in the camp of those more charismatic types of churches, I think sometimes they take those things and go a little crazy with them. Sometimes. They often take or go a little crazy with those things. But that said, I think God does provide healing. And I do believe, Brother Charles can give a testimony to this. I don't think he'd mind me telling. There was a missionary that came and said, Brother, I'd like to pray for your back. Prayed for his back, and his back really hadn't given much problem since then. I'm not saying that's going to happen every time, but if the Lord wills it and God blesses that man to be a conduit of healing, I think God can do that. God is able to do that. God does that. When the needs are huge, that's when God can show up. When the needs are small, God still shows up. However the size of the need, He can provide. Two applications on this I'd like to give you. First is Christmas. Christ came in the flesh and walked among us. That is a physical blessing that Christmas represents. Christ literally died, Christ literally was buried, and He literally rose again. When we come into this Christmas season, there's one of two ways we tend to think about it. It's all about family and gifts and eating and gathering and Christmas carols, or it's all about we get so super spiritual we're not very useful about the thing. We have to realize that Christmas is a physical blessing. We have a moment in time when God, a spiritual spirit being, came among us, enrobed Himself in flesh, walked among us, got His feet dirty, got tired, got thirsty and hungry like us, and was among us. That's a physical blessing. We even read these stories of healing. That happened because of Christmas, because Christ came into this earth. There was a miracle of a virgin birth because of Christmas. All of these things happened that we're celebrating on Christmas. So there's nothing wrong with us gathering together and eating a good meal in memory of a physical thing that's happened. Think about the satisfaction that comes to our belly when we have those wonderful meals. Think about that's the satisfaction that Jesus brings. You see, we have to remember there's a very physical thing to this. The other application is the commitment that we've just made to Rwanda. Again, I don't know what that is. We'll hear in a minute what the numbers are and what we decided to do as a church. But whatever that is, you realize that helping our Rwandan brothers and sisters is a physical blessing that God has provided us with. If it's financial, or if it's an email, or if it's a visit, those are physical blessings that God provided to us that we can go and meet their physical needs. So don't overlook the fact that God does meet things, physical needs that we have. He provides. He can and He does. But Jesus is bigger than physical needs. That's where He goes with this. You see, in verse 14, it appears, let's read that real quick. He says, these men, they've seen the miracle Jesus did, said, this is, speaking of Jesus, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. It seems that these physical blessings have made a believer out of them. Oh my goodness, this is the guy we've been waiting for. This is what we wanted the Jewish leaders to say this morning. That, oh, He's the one we're looking for. They would never say that. They said, nope, you're not it. You don't meet our expectations. But these people seem to be believing of it. But I want you to think about why they're believing. In fact, Jesus Himself says, if you look in verse 26, you seek Me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You see, these people, they said, oh, we feel good. We're happy. We want more of this. We want more of the success and the happiness and the filling, the full bellies that He's got. And again, we can apply that to today. That's what a lot of these prosperity gospel guys preach. You pray the right formula, you do the right things, you please God the right ways, and God will just bring you money. He'll just bring and pour in the money. Does God provide financial blessings? Absolutely. Does He provide for physical and financial needs? Absolutely. But is that why we serve God? I sure hope not, because if so, we serve Him for the wrong reason. That's what Jesus is telling us. They get this feeding from Jesus, and they, in verse 15, we see, they want to make Him king. They want to put Him over everybody. They're ready to crown Him king right there. But you know what will happen? The next time that they go hungry, they're ready to dethrone Him. They're ready to put Him off to the side and find a new king to put up. That's not the kind of king that Jesus is. He's bigger than that. Jesus, as I said, He doesn't believe in these new believers, verse 26, because they only believe because He satisfied their hunger. And He tells them, in follow-up to verse 26, verse 27, He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. He says, quit working for your physical needs. Yes, I provide for them. Yes, I did provide for them. But your physical needs are, as we talked about this morning, they're not king. They're not predominant. They are what should drive us to the feet of Jesus. Yes, I'm hungry. Yes, I have financial needs. Yes, I have health problems. Yes, I have things that I need in my life. And if I get them, great. Praise the Lord. If I don't get them, Lord, please help me. But those things should drive me to Him and realize that He's my true bread. He is my true financial peace. He is my true satisfaction. Whatever my need is, He's my true health. I get that in Him. He says, quit working for your physical needs. Look to meet your spiritual needs. That's your real problem. Jesus performed the physical need, the miracle of the physical, to unveil the spiritual truth. What is that spiritual truth? Jesus is the bread of life. He makes a piece of bread because He is Lord of all, God of the universe. He takes that piece of bread and He's able to multiply it many times over, certainly filling their bellies and showing them that He can do that and fill that need. But He's really showing a more deep truth, deeper truth, that He is the one who satisfies them. He has in Himself that well of water springing up, always bringing forth the life that they need. That's what He's providing. He is what the people need. He is what they want. He is satisfying. He is more than enough. Just experiencing Him produces belief. He's come to satisfy that hunger that we all have for God. He's providing physical blessings to show us how He's working. That's what He does. Just think about it this way. I made a reference, I think, this morning to this. Think about your own hunger. Think about your hunger. You want to eat a meal. Growling, all that sort of thing that happens. Why do we have hunger? Just think about it for a second. Why do you have hunger? God, in His all-knowing, all-power, could have made that need for food come about in any number of ways. Our hand could have went flat. I don't know what He could have done. There are all kinds of weird things He could have done. But He decided to make it so that we have this desire, a gnawing on the inside for food that is only satisfied when we take in bread and water and things like that. He could have done it any way. We could have, put our hand on a tree and took in the life from the tree. God could have done all sorts of weirdness. I want you to understand, He can do anything. But what did He choose to do so we could satisfy our hunger? You're hungry, you want something, it kind of changes your mood and everything, and all you have to do is take a piece of bread, a little drink of water, maybe a piece of fruit, some meat, whatever. Fills our satisfaction. Why? Because God uses the physical things of this world to point to spiritual truths. What do we need for satisfaction? We need the bread of life. Again, I'm not making this up. That's what Jesus did. It sounds like I'm sort of stretching this to make it work. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I turned 5 loaves into loaves enough to feed everybody. And you're sitting here worried about getting your next meal. And I'm trying to tell you something else. I have come to give you life. You don't need more bread. Yes, I'll give it to you because I'm a good God. But that's not what I came for. Fill your belly. I fill your belly to show you what I really came to give you. God healed your body. And those of you who had physical problems and now have recovered from those, that was God's healing. So you can see that not only can He heal your broken leg or your heart or your lungs or whatever the thing is that's broken about you, that He can fix that, but that He can also heal the heart of that loved one that you've been praying for. That's why He does those things. Those of you that have gone through financial struggles before and you didn't know where the money was coming from, but somehow, some way, God helped you get through that. He's showing you that when that persecution is going to come and you're not sure how you're going to stand because everybody's against you. I remember that time that I didn't have enough money to cover that light bill, but God took care of me. I think He can handle this one. I think He can. That's what He's trying to show us. That yes, He provides for our physical needs, but it's bigger than what our physical needs are. He's trying to show us spiritual truth in that. I'll point you to the two applications I gave you before Christmas. What was it? It was a physical thing, was it not? Jesus Christ came here. He's a little baby. He went through life as we went through life, except without sin. But there was a spiritual reality underneath that. Had He not come in the form of a man, He would not have been able to, because of the nature of God, the character of God, the way that God made the world, He would not have been able to pay for the sins of man. He had to be in the form of a man. in order to shed his blood, to give his life. There was a spiritual reality that he had to take his own blood into the heavens, as he talks about in Hebrews, and sprinkle it on the altar for my salvation, so that I can be right and justified before a holy God. It had to happen that way. Yes, there was a physical blessing, and thank God for that physical blessing. We can sing about a way in a manger, no room in the inn, all these things we can sing about, and it's wonderful and it's good, but that singing about a baby in a manger is a spiritual reality that God in heaven is satisfied. His wrath has moved away from me. That's what we're singing about ultimately. Our brothers and sisters in Rwanda, helping those churches is ultimately an expression of our connection to them. Yes, it might come in the form of a $100 check that we send to them every month. That's a very physical thing, and they have very physical needs. We will send that money over there. There will be a man and his wife and his children who may be able to eat a little bit better, may have a nicer home to live in, may be able to spend more time on the church work, and all these very physical things that happen. But that, sending that check, it's not just to give them a better life or be able to do more things for the church. That's not why we're doing it. We're doing it as an expression of a spiritual reality. The fact that Brother Samuel, Brother Ezekiel, and I could go on down that list, they're brothers, and I don't just say that as a title. Those are my family. They're your family. And we send that over there, not to say, listen, we're rich and you're poor, so here you go, you little whatevers. No, no. I'm saying God has blessed me. And you have a need. I'm going to physically try to transfer that to you, but it means something more. There's a spiritual reality underneath it. That's what's going on here. Now, the question for you is, are you like a little kid thinking, I just need the physical blessings. Give me the blessings. I got to have them. That's what children do. Again, nothing against any my children or anybody else's children. It's just the way kids are, the way I was, the way probably you were too. Give me the stuff. I want it. And you're overlooking the real reason. The reason that my father gave me food and gave me shelter was so that I could grow up to be a man, so that I could have a family, so that I could contribute both to the family of God but also to society at large. Or are you like a jaded adult? You know how we adults are? We're on the other end of the spectrum. We think about this Christian life. It's a very spiritual thing. It's all very serious. And it's all very spiritual. And I'm so sorry that you're having physical problems right now. That means you just don't have enough faith. You see, we talk like that. We laugh and it's funny, but that's the way we talk. I talk like that sometimes. And it's silly, because the fact of the matter is there's the physical and there's the spiritual, and God provides both of those things, but for both of those things. He gives me you folks to help me with my depression, to help me with my physical needs, to visit me in the hospital, to say, hey, how you doing? That's why we're part of a church. There's physical needs that we have. But he's also given me this spiritual reality that we're connected, even though your mother and my mother may not even have known each other. But we're family because of our Savior,
right,
who shed his blood and died for us. And yes, there's a very spiritual thing to that, and we should think about these grand and holy things as sober realities. But just don't forget the fact that God can heal, God can provide, and he does it. He does it. He's done it. He'll do it again. He's doing it right now. And he does it to show the spiritual reality. It's both of these things together at the same time. He's the bread of life, and he does give ultimate satisfaction. And as I mentioned, the reason we have hunger and the reason he fills that hunger is to prove that to us. Let's get both of these things right. He does provide spiritual things, but he also provides physical. Let's close in prayer, and we'll go over our commitment to Rwanda. Yeah.